Hey, everybody. Pastor Josh here. Welcome to our Stronger Marriage podcast, where my wife and I answer your questions about marriage. Today, all of the questions are related to sex and sexuality. It's going to be a ton of fun. The three questions we get to in this podcast: number one, how do you bring up sensitive bedroom topics with your spouse that might be uncomfortable? Number two, is masturbation ever acceptable as a single or married person? And number three, what do I do with my husband's constant berating of myself and women in general? Going to get real, coming your way soon on the Strong Marriage Podcast. How about this? Well, I do a quick review of the sermon.
All right.
For those who are listening today and who didn't hear the sermon, we're working our way through the seven irrefutable laws of a stronger marriage. And last week was week six. What are you smiling?
Nothing. You're cute. Go ahead.
I keep having to rub my eye. I got something in my eye. Last week was my nose. This week is my eye. I'm a hot mess.
Okay. You want to start again?
Or like I said, we're a hot mess. You're hot. I'm a mess. Okay.
Nice.
Here we go. So week six was the law of pleasure. And I'll burn through a quick review here. We'll see how it goes. Marriage was built to burn hot. Law of pleasure defined is that God unabashedly designed marriage as a beautiful stone hearth where passion burns the hottest and brightest to warm the whole house. Yeah. And we've gotten actually quite a few questions in relationship to these things we talked about, so it's good to get it in front of us here. Mm-hmm. I talked through seven truths about sex and marriage, kind of foundational presuppositions. One, sex was God's idea. Two, sex is a powerful reality. Three, sex is a good gift. Four, sex is talked about a lot in the Bible. Mm-hmm. That kind of jumped out at you.
Oh, yeah.
Why did that jump out of you when we were talking about it afterwards?
Oh, I just thought it was a really good reminder. I mean, you started going through the stories, even like Old Testament and all the way through, but a lot of people's, sadly, a lot of their most difficult seasons happened around sexual immorality or choices they had made in regards to sexual sin. So I just thought it was really interesting. I'm like, oh, yeah, it does talk about it a lot. Sadly, often, in many cases, in a way that it has been abused and not handled correctly, which means we need to talk about it.
In the Old Testament stories.
Yeah.
So sex is God's idea, powerful reality, good gift, talked a lot about in the Bible, Satan's main target of perversion.
Which proves that,
yep. And then sex needs to be renewed in our minds. And then lastly, sex is why sex should be talked about a lot at church. And the point I made was, if we don't disciple our people in relationship to how God thinks about sex and how God designed sex, the world will. The world is.
Yes.
And then the two commands for sex in marriage we looked at from 1 Corinthians 7 from Paul was for married couples to be sexually active. The second command was for married couples not to be sexually active.
Yes.
Don't not be sexually active.
Right.
Two commands inversely given. Mm-hmm. The big idea, oh my goodness, my eye is going to kill me.
you can do it.
Okay. Probably better you're listening to this, not watching this, unless you're watching it. I apologize.
Then you apologize.
A huge red puffy eye. Uh-huh. The best sexual experience in the world comes not through mastering a technique, but through cultivating a covenant, marriage covenant.
Right.
And then the seven things we learned about sex and marriage at the end was sex is for pleasure, sex is for knowledge, sex cultivates servanthood, sex is mutual, not manipulative, sex brings comfort, sex cultivates unity and renews covenant, and lastly, sex wages spiritual warfare. We drew all those points out from the text. So that's a quick flyer over review.
Yep.
Without further ado, if you want to listen to the sermon, you can go to or check out our podcast or our app or go online, gracechurch.com, and check out the Law of Pleasure, which is week six of Stronger Marriage.
Yep.
Without further ado, let's get to the questions. We got a ton of questions. We're only going to get to six today.
Yeah.
If you're listening and wrote in a question and we don't get to it, first of all, thanks for sending it in. And secondly, we're going to try to get to all of the questions. And so we're going to do this long after the sermon series is done.
Right.
So keep listening. And hey, Logan. Logan just walked in the studio. So yeah, we're saying hi to Logan. All the people out there, say hi to Logan. Okay, let's get to the questions here. Keeping it real on Stronger Marriage Podcast.
That's right.
Question
That's what we
one.
Do.
I'm going to ask you a question first. Let's hear what Sharon thinks about sex.
Well, we're not going to hear what Sharon thinks. We're going to hopefully hear what that says, the Bible, not me.
Oh, nice Jesus juke.
No, for reals. It's my favorite thing. Elizabeth Elliot always does that when she does Q&A.
What's that?
She's like, I'm not going to tell you what I think. I'm going to try and tell you what we believe the Bible says, because you aren't here to hear what I have to say about this.
Well,
you want to know what God has to say.
They, what you have to say about it.
I don't know.
They're here to hear what you have to say about it as you've thought about it.
There you go.
In
regards to what the Lord says.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay. No shade on Elizabeth Elliot. I'm sure she's great.
She's amazing. Yeah. Yes.
I'm sure she's great. She was great.
She was great. Yes.
She was. She was incredible. Mm-hmm. You just finished reading two biographies about her and you were a little.
I have. I don't know what I think about biographies, but that's a rabbit trail. We'll think about that later.
Mm-hmm. Now that I'm trying to avoid all these questions.
Yeah, I feel like you are.
But anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, I don't think so.
How are the kids doing?
Everybody's great.
Are they?
About done with school. We're good. Okay. Yeah, it's going to be good.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, number one. Yes. I'm just going to ask you all these questions.
Okay.
You mentioned in your sermon. Oh, this question is to me. Okay.
Yes.
Well, let's pretend you're me.
Okay. We're we.
You
so
mentioned
it's okay.
In your, how about this? Your husband mentioned in his sermon.
Nice.
See how I did that?
That was great.
Your husband mentioned in his sermon on the law of pleasure that covenant renewal doesn't work when it's between either two takers or a giver and a taker. Mm-hmm. What's an appropriate way for a spouse to bring up that the bedroom experience is feeling a bit one-sided? How do we avoid a critical spirit rearing its ugly head and instead come from an affirming space when dealing with such a sensitive and powerful subject? Mm. So I don't know if this is from the husband
question.
Or wife.
Great question. And yes, you did mention in your sermon that it doesn't work very well when it's two takers or a giver and a taker because it's lopsided, which goes against, I mean, one of your last parts that you were talking about, the seven things that we learn about sex in marriage. Obviously, the third one was sex cultivates servanthood. Mm-hmm. And then four was mutual. It's mutual, not manipulative. Yeah. So it makes me think of both of those. Yeah. This is a great question, though. And I think it comes down to the fact that like anything in marriage, and I think sex almost more, there has to be open lines of communication.
Yes.
You have to talk about it. We had this conversation with our city group the other night.
Yes.
It's so crazy. You'll talk about your finances. You'll talk about the children. You'll talk about schedules. You'll talk about
other people's kids,
other people's problems. Yeah. But when it comes especially to talking about sexual intimacy and how that's going in your marriage, I feel like that is something that people, for a host of reasons, maybe don't do well.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like this person is wanting to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I appreciate the heart here. They're wanting to avoid a critical spirit. They're wanting to be affirming. Whatever that quite means, but it is a sensitive topic, but also it doesn't need to be. It should be like, hey babe, I want to talk about our sex life. And if this is a wife saying that to a guy, I'm pretty sure he's going to be like,
dude's like, let's go.
What are we going to talk about? Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's not going to be like, no, I can't talk about that right now. Not really interested.
My
favorite
just
subject.
Happens to be free right now.
Yes. Yeah. So I guess.
Let's assume it's from a woman. How would you encourage her to go about it with her husband?
Well,
and
I think,
I'll answer it from the editor's perspective.
Okay. Well, I think what we've talked about before, just general communication guidelines. Mm-hmm. It's like, try not to do it in wartime, right? Mm-hmm. Try not to do it like just when things have just wrapped up and you're like, by the way, I really was not pleased with this. I mean, mm-hmm. I feel like there's a way to come about.
What things are wrapped up?
Anyway, so I'm just saying.
Coitus has been completed?
Yes, correct. Thank you so much, Mr. McPherson.
My
eyes
killing me, by the way.
I think that
power through.
It's like any other thing we would encourage people in communication. It's like, make sure there's a time when the two of you can talk about it. Maybe it's when you're on a wee retreat. Maybe it's more pressing than it. Maybe it needs to be a text message. Hey, babe, I really want to talk to you about something tonight after you get home. And, you know, here's whatever. I think obviously it has to start with a wife. This is the wife. She's coming. She's saying, I am not wanting to be critical. I am not wanting to be coming from a place where my heart isn't right. And she's prayed about it. She's talked to the Lord about it. I'm assuming all of that. And then I think you just bring it up. Hey, I feel like sometimes this is harder for me. I'd really enjoy this. Like, start expressing your own needs, because there are needs for a woman. And actually, sometimes women don't realize that, that you talked about. I mean, sex is for both the husband and the wife.
Yeah. And I think the husband can sometimes feel like him getting a performance review. Like, you know, my husband's going to put a lot of stock in his ability, you know, be the man.
Right.
And so you've always been very gentle with how you've brought it up in our conversations early on.
Yeah.
And I always found it very attractive, or you'd be like, hey, like, I want to do this or try that, or I love it when we do this. And it's like, oh, that's cool. Mm-hmm. And so
communication,
open communication. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would say, if you're a man, if this is a man asking the question, I would say, you know, be open with your wife, talk to her about what you appreciate, but then this isn't performance review or critical. This is like, hey, we're in this together and it's fun and it's awesome. I would enjoy trying this. What do you think?
Yes.
And then the other thing I would say is we put regular times on the calendar to talk about finances, parenting, mm-hmm. Sex, and a host of things. So it wasn't situation specific. So we were going to talk about it on a regular basis, whether we get to that spot, like, anything you want to talk about? I'm happy. Me too. Rock on. Right. High five and keep moving. Or it's like, oh, actually, I've been wanting to talk about this or that. Mm-hmm. So when you set up regular times in your marriage, whether it's quarterly or monthly or however you want to do it, mm-hmm. where you're going to go and you're going to talk about issues,
yeah.
it makes it more normal to bring those things up.
Yes.
And then you get in the habit of having meaningful conversations about important things, and it's not on a case-by-case basis.
Right.
And once you've established that pattern and you have good communication skills in place and good agreements in place, then maybe you can be more... your phone keeps blinking. It's driving me crazy.
Okay, sorry.
Turn it off or whatever. It keeps
blinking.
It has
my questions on it.
Well, I know. Turn it off. It's totally distracting. It blinks and it goes up and down and you keep touching it. It's driving me nuts. My gosh, I'm trying to focus on your eyes and it's distracting.
Phones.
What were you saying?
It has the questions. What you were saying.
I was
go
saying,
ahead, keep going.
I was saying if you establish a regular...
Yes.
So for instance, if this is a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of saying, hey, if you feel like it would be too hard to approach the specific issue of sex,
yeah.
you can simply say, hey, could we set aside regular times to talk about all the things in our marriage?
That's good.
I would love that. I'd need that. That's going to mm-hmm. benefit your whole marriage.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a husband and listening, you should take the initiative to set up regular times where I'm going to initiate, okay, how are we doing on finances? How
yes.
are you feeling about where we're at in as far as our investments in long-term security and, mm-hmm. and grocery money?
Yeah.
How are we doing about... our schedule? What's the pace of life right now? How are you doing as far as your energy goes? How
yes.
are we doing with our kids? Any things I'm missing that I need to hear about? How are we doing in our physical relationship? Are you happy, satisfied? What new things would you like to try? Mm-hmm. What things would you like to do more of? When would you like to do them? When you're just initiating those conversations,
yes.
then it's less of a awkward, I don't know how to say this, but I hate it when you do that.
Right.
And it's more of a, we're going to have an ongoing conversation so we can continue getting stronger in this area.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a wife, maybe ask your husband, can we start having regular meetings to just talk about us?
Yes.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
Because there's things I want to try and there's things I want to do and there's things I want to make sure we talk about. And husband's like, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be my encouragement there.
That's good.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
I am.
For the single folks, young and old, can we have a little chat about the biblical stance on self-pleasure, any possible effects on a future marriage, and whether self-pleasure is ever acceptable within the covenant of marriage? There's a couple questions in there.
Mm.
So...
it's a single person?
Single folks, young and old. Can we have a little chat about the biblical stance on self-pleasure?
Can we have a little chat?
On self-pleasure.
Let's any have a little chat.
Possible okay. effects on a future marriage?
Take the kids out of the room if you're listening to this.
Yes.
On a road trip. This is where you hit pause.
There you go.
Okay. So it's a single person. I'm just reframing the question.
Sounds like it.
It's a single person asking if they can participate or engage in masturbation.
That's the, yeah.
Is that the question?
I think that's the ask.
Okay. So, yeah.
And the Bible, the biblical stance on it and any possible effects on a future marriage. And then whether it's okay in the covenant of marriage.
Okay. There's like four questions there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's take the single person who is not married asking yes. if they can participate in
yes.
masturbation. So
mm-hmm.
There's no Bible verse that we would turn to and say, you know, 3 Corinthians
right.
17:4,
yeah.
thou shalt not self-pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do have is principles to work with in terms of
right.
lust, in terms of what we do with our mind. And what I have told many single people is sex is a gift that you're saving to share with a spouse if marriage comes one day.
Therefore,
when it's only one-sided,
mm-hmm.
it's not being used as God intended.
Mm-hmm.
So for a single person, what I would tell them or what I do tell them is, in order for you to experience the full release that masturbation is intended to accomplish,
mm-hmm.
you have to engage your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a physical act, it's a mental act.
Mm-hmm.
In engaging your mind, for a married couple, they can be thinking about their spouse.
Right.
For a single person, who or what are you thinking about?
Right.
And so that's where pornography comes into play.
Yes.
And that's the purpose of pornography. Pornography does not exist to admire the physical beauty of right. different female specimens around the globe.
Yeah.
Pornography exists for dudes to get off.
Right.
Like, that's what it exists for. And so mm-hmm. now you're using and objectifying God's daughters, some
mm-hmm.
men, you know, every girl that you look at is the daughter of some man out
mm-hmm.
there. She's a sister. In some situations, maybe she's even a spouse, which is very twisted and perverted. Mm-hmm. But there's no question she's being abused and exploited. No matter how empowered she thinks it makes her feel, mm-hmm. she's being abused and exploited for men to objectify her and to yeah. participate in that is I think, a rank and perverse yeah. sin and an abuse of a man's power. So what I tell single people is I don't see a scenario where you're going to be self-pleasuring yourself mm-hmm. and not engaging in lust mm-hmm. and fantasy, which is not setting you well up for marriage, by the way.
Right.
Because when you get into marriage, it's not like you're going to just like all of a sudden become this self-controlled person.
That's right.
And so exercising self-control while you're single mm-hmm. is what actually prepares you mm-hmm. to be married. Because after you get married, we got married, it was like, oh, I can have sex now, and mm-hmm. I have no more sexual temptations. Actually, mm-hmm. in some ways, so for me, who I was, you know, raised in a strong Christian home,
yep.
never did the pornography, masturbation thing. Mm-hmm. Lord was very gracious and kind. Mm-hmm. And so if you awaken that stuff, mm-hmm. it's really hard to put it back to bed.
Right.
So like, let that dragon lie. If you wake mm-hmm. it up, it could devour you. So mm-hmm. by God's grace, I kept that waking giant asleep. Then we mm-hmm. got married mm-hmm. and it wakes up. Mm-hmm. What I found was sexual temptation actually in some ways got stronger,
yeah.
not weaker, because now I have more information and more knowledge right. about how this works. And wow, all this is. So yeah. had I not practiced the discipline of self-control before marriage, there's no prayer apart from a miracle of God
yeah.
that you're going to exercise self-control after marriage. Mm-hmm. So you prepare for a life of healthy, wonderful, fire in the fireplace, sex with your spouse
right.
by exercising God-given and God-empowered self-control before marriage, because you're mm-hmm. going to need self-control after marriage as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I'd answer that question. Anything to add mm-hmm. to that I've missed?
No, I'm still thinking, but I thought that was, yeah, okay. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you've been engaged in that, right, and you're like, well, now what do I do? It's like, oh, hey, ask the Lord for forgiveness, confess to a brother or sister if it's a man or a woman, because mm-hmm. we're finding out that pornography is becoming more an issue with women as well.
Yeah.
So the world says indulge the self, you know, fulfill the desires of the flesh, let her rip. And the yeah. Bible says just the opposite. Die to yourself.
Yeah.
Don't fulfill the desires of your flesh, because mm-hmm. the flesh leads to death.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not that the desires for sex are wrong, but when you're fulfilling the fleshly desires mm-hmm. of temptation mm-hmm. and lust, not good.
So what would you say to somebody that says, well, yeah, but it's not really sex? Like, so I'm not really having sex outside of marriage because it's just me by myself.
They're stupid.
Okay.
They're clueless. They're foolish. Mm-hmm. They're being demonically influenced. They're following the flesh. They're trying to defend evil. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
I've had those conversations.
Well, that's why I'm asking, like, because we've heard that question before. They're saying, well, I'm not having sexual intercourse. So why is this wrong?
Yeah. And I don't like arguing with people like that, because they're not wanting an answer.
Right.
They're trying to defend their sin. They're yes. trying to find a loophole for mm-hmm. them to feel good about their easing their conscience. That's yeah. that's causing the question to come up. It's like, yeah. well, why are you even asking the question? Well, because my conscience is being pricked that this is wrong.
Yes.
And so now I want you to defend it, or I want you to give me an excuse so mm-hmm. I can excuse it, or I want to prove a point here and get off on a technicality so I can keep living in sin. I'm like, I didn't want to like talking to those kind of people.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. it's like, hey, keep going. Hope it works out for you. You can talk with Jesus about it when you see him.
Right.
You know, it's like, and here's part of the question that I get frustrated with young men. It's like, the question is, how far can I go?
Right.
Now, how pure can I stay?
Yes.
So like, if you're constantly trying to push the line and like, how far, is this okay? Was this okay? Can I get off on this technicality? Mm-hmm. It's the wrong orientation of the
That's
question.
Right.
Your heart is, how pure can I walk before God?
Mm-hmm.
How righteously can I live? How, mm-hmm. you know, you're pushing into holiness.
Yes.
You're not trying to skirt the line of like flesh-driven, demonic-inspired mm-hmm. perversion and evil and lust, and yeah. to see how far you can go without burning yourself. Well, yeah. if you're playing with fire, like you're already going to hurt yourself yeah. and other people. So,
well, and practicing that desire for purity and holiness and self-discipline and self-control before marriage, guess what? That'll benefit you when you are married.
Yeah.
Like you said, because it doesn't go away.
Yeah.
There still needs to be a pureness. There yeah. still needs to be a desire for holiness when you're married.
Yeah.
That doesn't change. That's part of being a person,
yeah.
a Christian. That's yeah. part of following Jesus
yeah.
is wanting to live a life of purity, whatever that looks like. So if yeah. you're not married, that means you're not doing these things. That
right.
means you're not committing these sins in your mind, etc. So that when you get married, you still have that great desire for purity and holiness, which yeah. isn't just a physical thing,
yeah.
right? It's a heart thing. Purity mm-hmm. is a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh man, I
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in relationship to being married, masturbation and marriage.
Yeah, that was the last part of the question.
So I'm not, if they mean like being masturbated by their spouse or masturbating themselves. So I'm not sure what the question is.
Not sure
is,
how to answer that one exactly.
But I guess what I would say is like we've talked with some couples who like the husband travels a lot. And when he's away, like he and the wife connect on the phone or she sends pictures or boy, FaceTime is all sorts of ways to redeem that technology. Mm-hmm. And they do that and there's some self-pleasuring involved. And it's like, I'm like, okay, I got no problem with that. Whatever. So I wouldn't come down hard on that. I'd just be like, nah, I would just be like, hey man, if you're a soldier and you're gone for 6 months, man, whatever you and your wife can figure out to make it work, that's outstanding.
Yeah.
But as a rule, as a practice, like we've never done that. That's not something that we want to get because like, I want to be with you.
Right.
And so if I'm going to be away for a season of time, like we're going to make sure
it's
our tanks are full before we leave. And then I'm going to exercise a joy-filled sense of self-discipline and self-control while I'm gone in anticipation of being home with my wife.
Yeah.
And so that's how we've gone about it. If you got a different scenario where you're like, your husband's gone every week, all year long because he's working, you got to work some stuff out. That's outstanding.
Yeah.
I've just never wanted to get in the habit personally of gratifying sexual desires without you there. Now, when we're together, it's game on. Like, like you know, wheels come off, rules go out the door, and it's like if we're together, boy, let's have fun.
Right.
But I've just never liked the idea.
Yeah.
Of gratifying sexual desires when you're not there, and so we've just never done it.
Yeah.
But I think it could be done in a responsible, godly way that's protecting the marriage.
Yeah.
But it would need, I think, some pretty strong boundaries.
Yeah, you know what
I mean? Because it could go from like,
conversation.
Okay, a husband's masturbating with his wife on the phone to a husband's masturbating to pictures of his wife on his phone to a husband's masturbating with just pictures of any woman.
Yeah.
And then it's off the rails.
Yeah.
And so I think there would need to be some caveats and cautions given with that practice if it was going to be regular.
Yeah.
Anything to add?
Nope, that was good.
Okay.
That was good.
Question number three.
Okay.
How can I learn to accept my husband's continual berating of women due to the curse? He knows scripture and is a godly man. Maybe not as godly as she thinks. He knows scripture and is a godly man with a bit of the speck and log issue.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
But I know he has been hurt by women and by me. I find it very offensive that because of the curse, it is open forum on me, women. I want not to be offended, and I am finding your conversations very helpful, but I find it grinds on me. I want to be seen at least like he could see how much I love Christ and that I am trying.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure I understand that. I have asked him to please try to balance his criticism. To be honest, the more he criticizes me, the harder it is for me to swim. Or probably want to be with him sexually. I guess that's where this is going.
Yeah.
What can I do? Well, I have thoughts, but do you want to?
Well, you give your thoughts to the dude because I'm pretty sure you have some for him. And then I will consider maybe some practical follow-up to that.
Oh, this question just ticks me off. Because I think this guy's a jerk. Yeah, he's been hurt by women. Okay. I get it. But my husband's continual berating of women in general, like that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like the curse is on both of the men and the women.
Yeah.
And so both are under the fall, both have their issues, and his is blaring here.
Yeah.
A guy with a speck and log issue, Jesus was super harsh with guys like that. He's like, you are picking out the fleck in someone's eye and you got like a sycamore tree coming out of your face.
Yeah.
Like he used this massive, like hyperbolic analogy where like the difference is so large as to be comical because Jesus is saying you're a joke.
Yeah.
If you nitpick other people with glaring hypocrisies in your own life, you are a classic card carrying Pharisee and they didn't inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And they didn't inherit the good news of the gospel and they rejected Jesus and crucified him. So it's like, this, you know, he knows scripture and is godly, but is constantly hurting and criticizing women. No, he's not. He's not godly. And he may know information about the Bible, but he's missing the spirit of the Bible. He's not being transformed by the word of God.
That's right. Because if he was, he wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, this guy's a joke.
Yeah.
So stop thinking he's godly. Stop thinking he knows the word. He's using the word as a hammer. He's not as a mirror. And so a hammer is where you take the word of God and then you beat everyone around you to prove how awesome you are.
That's right.
When the word of God was intended as a mirror for you to see your own sin and to see Christ. So this guy has problems. And when she said here, how can I help him balance his criticism? That's the wrong question.
Yeah.
A man shouldn't balance his criticism. A man should murder his criticism.
Mm-hmm.
A man should mortify his criticism. A man should expel it from his life.
Yeah.
Like my goal isn't to, well, I'm going to balance encouragement and criticism with Sharon.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to eradicate criticism from my life.
Yeah.
So that what I bring to you is encouragement and affirmation.
Yeah.
Sometimes instruction, sometimes counsel.
Yes.
Sometimes I'm instructing, okay, babe, here's what we're going to do this. And here's why that thinking is wrong and why this is what we're going to do. And do you understand
that?
Yeah,
some godly correction. So we go in the right direction.
Bring instruction, bring correction, but never criticism.
I know.
There's no scenario where harshness of tongue and criticism is appropriate.
Yeah.
James says that the tongue is like a small spark and can start a forest fire.
That's right.
This lady sounds like she's got third degree burns and she's asking for her husband just to turn the flamethrower off 3 days a week.
Right.
It's like, no.
Yeah.
Like the flamethrower needs to go away.
Yeah.
And he needs to learn how to be a affirming, godly, encouraging husband.
Yes.
So that's what I would say to her. And the more it criticizes, the harder it is for me to swim. I think she's talking about my analogy of how we can hold people underwater.
Yes.
When we withhold affirmation.
Yeah.
And so she's drowning.
Yeah.
She's not going to be open to him sexually. She's not going to want to be open and vulnerable to him emotionally.
Yeah.
And so this clown needs to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
He's small.
Mm-hmm.
He's a beta male. He's probably trying to make up for some compensation issues with his manhood. And he needs to repent.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
Because a man using his position of authority, his size, his power, his position of strength as a man to berate a wife is a horrific perversion and misuse of the power and authority God gave him. And God will call him to account for that.
Yeah.
So he can repent now and be forgiven now, or he can deal with it on Judgment Day. And,
and
without knowing more of the story and without wanting to be too judgmental.
Right.
Just with the four sentences here, I'd say, if I were to sit down with this man, I'd say, well, I'd question whether or not you're saved. So let's start there. Because a man filled with the Spirit of God doesn't have a wife who writes something like this.
Right.
And so let's go check that first. And if the Spirit of God is there, let's stop quenching him and let's stop shutting him down. Let's start letting him talk. And if he isn't there, let's get him in there to turn the old man into a dead man and turn the new man into a man that is actually walking in the power of the Spirit of God and loving his wife. So the old needs to go, the new needs to come with this clown.
Yeah. What did it say again when she said he's been hurt by women and me? Did she say that?
But I know he has been hurt by women and me. Yeah.
So I guess just for practical steps for her, make sure you're starting with, is there any repentance that needs to take place on your end? Because we talk about that, obviously personal responsibility, because we don't know the whole story here.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, if you've hurt him, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. Let's make sure that's taken care of, because, we don't encourage people living out of a place of pain and not making excuses for him. Well, he's been hurt, so he's doing this to others. No, the Lord can actually heal that, redeem that, fix that, change that, heading forward. So it's like, for her, is there things you need to apologize? Is there things you need to ask for forgiveness on?
Yeah.
In ways that you've hurt him? It, obviously, she maybe knows that she has.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, make sure you've taken care of that first. Yep. Is he responding from a place of still feeling like he's frustrated and hurt from that? Now, you can't take care of the all women thing, because I have no idea what that means.
Right.
But for her, practically, start there if you haven't. And then, I mean, you really hope he listens to the podcast so he gets a wake-up call. But for her, it's like, man.
Well, for me, I mean, you're being very gracious in a good way, and you should lean on the woman, because if she's screwing him up and being
I don't know. You can't.
Well, if she's a Jezebel spirit, she needs to repent or she's going to cripple him. Yes, amen. And this dude needs to go find some dudes to talk to and go, you know what? I think I got a thing against women here. I think I've been hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
And what do I do here? Because he's playing a victim.
Yeah.
And victims lash out, and now he's on like this vigilante mission to like make sure all women
know.
Yeah, how and they're screwed up. It's like, no, I think you need to deal with your own pain first, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
So we should move on.
Okay.
Anything else to add to that?
Well, I don't, except for, I mean, I think she shouldn't go in and ask for a decrease or a lesser criticism. I think there is a prayer for her repentance of her husband's heart.
Yeah, I just say, hey, look, you know what? I realize that maybe I've hurt you, and I apologize for that.
And I
ask your forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to start building a new track record of faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
It is very hard for me to want to be open to you when you're criticizing me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's me being small. Mm-hmm. I just think that's me being human.
Yeah.
Like nobody flourishes under criticism.
Yeah.
Well, like, why is this flower dying? Because you're pouring poison on it.
Yep.
It's like you're pouring acid mm-hmm. on this flower and wondering why it's shriveling. It's like, that's the nature of criticism. So mm-hmm. the fruit of criticism is bearing itself out in her life and in this question. So it's like, hey, if he doesn't figure that out, she needs to be his helper and point it out. Like, mm-hmm. I realize I've hurt you in the past. I am deeply sorry for that. Mm-hmm. I've asked the Lord for forgiveness. I want to ask you for forgiveness.
Yeah.
I'm asking for the power from God to help change mm-hmm. my behavior going forward. I realize I might need to establish a track record of faithfulness.
Yep.
Thank you for the grace of giving me that opportunity. In the meantime, as well, it is very hard for me mm-hmm. to be open to you emotionally, to be open to you sexually, to be open to you relationally, when you constantly criticize me and all women in general.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where that's coming from. I'd be willing to talk about it. We go talk to a pastor.
Yeah.
But do you see that? Do you agree with that? And what do you suggest? How do you suggest I respond to your criticism? What are you hoping to get out of it? It's like, you think I'm going to be like, oh, you're right. Thanks for criticizing me.
Yeah.
Let's go have sex.
Right.
Like that happens. That's never happens.
Yeah.
Unless you're like an abused woman who's now trying to like submit to a man in a really perverted way because she's got, you know, people pleasing issues that are very, because that's very common. Well, if I give him my body, maybe he'll like me and that doesn't work. So I just, it's not a good thing. So,
well, it's interesting because you've talked multiple times, I feel like, through the series, and we have a tendency, like even last week or whatever it was, we were talking about her power, and we usually are more apt to focus on women as being critical. Right. And saying, ladies, don't harp on your man. Affirmation is what tears him down. He needs your respect. Well, the gentlemen need to listen up too.
Yes.
Like, it's not that women have this thick skin that we can just be criticized and it's not going to go anywhere. I mean, it goes both ways, is what I'm saying. The affirmation has to be reciprocal. It has to be both husband and wife pouring into the other words of affirmation, or figure out what your spouse needs. It might be words of encouragement. I text you a lot and send you, you know, encouraging words that way. Well, I love it when you do it back to me, when you send it to me, when you encourage what I'm trying to do, when you affirm how I'm doing, when you affirm me in front of the kids. Aren't you so grateful for your mom, all the things she does in our home? Isn't this amazing how hard she works? That kind of stuff brings out in me, oh yeah, that's right. I want to do that better. I want to be that way. And so for the gentlemen that are listening, like, pay attention. Are you affirming your wife? Are you criticizing the casserole she pulled out? Are you talking about her clothes? Are you talking about how she looks in her pants? Or what? I mean, these are no small things.
Yeah.
Like, help yourself, bro. Like, figure it out. Affirming and encouraging your wife with your words is going to go a really long ways. And women need that. Why are you smiling and laughing?
How she looks in her pants. It just struck me funny. I don't know
I'm
why.
Just saying that it's a thing. And women can be, they really value what their husband thinks.
Right.
They really do. We
just to
value
clarify
what they
for
think.
This guy, because he sounds a little clueless, you're complimenting your wife how she looks in her pants, not just
I wasn't
women
saying, did I say women in general?
No, I just want to make sure, because I can see this guy going, oh, I'll just start complimenting women
no,
in their pants.
No, start with your wife and get it right there. So,
well, no,
anyway.
Don't start with your wife. Like,
start with only compliment. Okay, move on.
So, bro, start with your wife, and then once you're really good at affirming her, then just move on to all women.
No.
Spread the love.
Oh, my word. You know what I mean.
Thank you for
clarifying. Okay, if he's listening, compliment your wife. Yeah. End of story, period.
Clueless in Seattle. So, here, this is for, okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, everyone. Pastor Josh here. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate the podcast, review, follow, and share to help keep unwoke, uncensored, straight talk Bible teaching coming to you for free.